If you'll open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. God has laid a message on my heart for tonight. It's titled, Am I My Brother's Keeper? A message you've heard before. Many preachers have preached on it. It's been taught down through the years on that. But I pray that God tonight will reveal some things to us that we need to be reminded of and give us an answer to some of the things that's going on that we've forgotten. Amen. Of course, you know the account of Adam and Eve and then Cain and Abel as God blessed them with these two young men, two children that were boys. And, of course, there were others who were born that we find the Bible tells us that Eve was the mother of all living. But with Cain and Abel, as they were taught by Adam and Eve as well as to how to serve God and how to love God and to worship Him. And so we find that there was a difference. Cain decided that he would worship God the way he wanted to. Abel was still offering sacrifices that were true in relation to what God would have them to do. So in verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, as we look at that, we're familiar with it, and the first murder that we have recorded, that of Cain killing his brother. And when it was over, we assumed it was over, the sacrifices that was made. God honored Abel's sacrifice over Cain because it was a blood sacrifice. And now, whether that was the full reason or some other things that came in, you know how brothers act and families act and can get on one another's nerves and get crossway with one another. But regardless of that, Cain did kill his brother. And as God came on the field to talk to Cain about it, he said, well, where's your brother? He said, I don't know. Whenever we start with one sin, we continue with others. We'll lie, we'll try to cover up whatever we've done that's wrong. And then he asked that question, am I my brother's keeper? Now, some take that literally and say, well, I'm not responsible for anyone else but just my family. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, we are our brother's keeper. And, of course, the answer to that is yes. Well, what about others? How important is it that we take care of one another? That we be concerned about one another? Well, look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, we find one of God's law that is strong and as powerful as the law of gravity. And so Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible tells us in Galatians 5 verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now here we find that it's not necessarily your brother, but also your neighbor. That we love thy neighbor, you love thy neighbor as thyself. But, verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. When we refuse to love one another, when we refuse to love our neighbors as ourselves, not just not talking about our friends and those in our social gathering on that. That's everyone. When we refuse to do that, then we're going to be consumed of one another. And we've seen this acted over and over and over again. We see it throughout all societies, even our own society, not only within our family. When you within your family begin to be contrary to one another and begin to, as it says here, to bite and devour one another, you'll be consumed of your own family. When you do that in your community, in your state, in a nation, and with other nations as well. This is a law that's true throughout all that's involved in it, of everyone on the face of this earth. And so we find that when we do not take care of one another, then we will hurt each other and ourselves. So it's very important just on that basis alone. And that's proven itself over and over again. Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. Now, we understand this to a point, but do we really believe it? And will we really take notice of it? In Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, then are we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. How that we have an obligation and we must recognize that we are to help those who are weak. When we have that we can share with others, we must do that. And so as we look at ourselves, look at our communities, and sometimes we want to limit that to our own race or to our government or our nation, but no, that's for everyone, isn't that? God is a God of the world. He's not just a God of Americans or a God of this nation or this race or that race. We know that, but do we really believe that? Are we really involved in that? It's brought home to us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. You'll remember the story when we get there, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. Well, let's back up. Let's read verse 25. And as Jesus was here and was teaching and in his earthly ministry in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So this is not an honest question from this lawyer. He thinks he can trick Jesus and trap him in making a mistake on that. And so Jesus said to him, what is written in the law, how readest thou? And so as a lawyer, he's supposed to examine everything in that and should know it. So what do you read? What's your interpretation of the law? Verse 27, he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, this is the lawyer answering Jesus, saying this is what the law is saying. And Jesus said to him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? That's about like Cain saying, who am I my brother's keeper? We're to love God with all that we've got. We're to love our neighbors ourselves. But who's my neighbor? Is that the one that lives within a block of where I live? Is that the one that lives in my section of town or my county? Or is that the one who lives in my city? Is that the one who lives in my state? Who is my neighbor? Well, you know the story, but let's look at it again. Verse 30. Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, we do not know for sure, but we assume a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho is a Jewish man taking a journey. And he falls among thieves, and he's wounded and half dead. He cannot help himself. We understand that part of it, regardless of who he is. But then we've got a priest coming by. A priest should be willing and able to minister to this one in need. And as he came by, he saw him, but he passed by on the other side. And the fact, well, yeah, he needs help, but I'm not going to help him. How many people have we passed by in our community? But now I want you to expand your mind in this. We're having some serious problems right now in our nation. Our leaders today have forgotten the mindset of our forefathers. Our forefathers, when they started this nation, they built it upon the principle of God's word. Many of our forefathers were Christians. Now, they might have been of different faith from one another on that, but they all are those part that were Christians, really had a belief in God and wanted the laws of God to be the laws of our nation and set it up so as they felt them. Then as our nation grew and God blessed our nation in a tremendous way, we began to notice the people around the world, people of other nations involved in that. The basic principle is that we are our brother's keeper and we are to help others. Now, some felt like, and now today, though that was the basic principle, I believe our nation acted upon in what we would call foreign aid, where we would call that we would see a nation in great need. And now when we see a nation that's had a flood, an earthquake, had a horrible tragedy to help the people, there's no question. Nothing was asked about it or said about it except that we went. As a nation, we wanted to help. As Christian individuals, we would respond to any severe need that happened in our world. Now, for centuries, Southern Baptists had a concern about that. We would try to help whatever we can. Finally, that became such a great deal in our convention that we have now the disaster relief program. What is the disaster relief program based upon? Am I my brother's keeper? Regardless of where it is, what state it is in, regardless of what nation, Southern Baptists are now responding, realizing we're our brother's keeper. But then some of us get the idea of being like that priest. Well, that's a bad situation, but I'm not going to help in it. Send somebody else. Let somebody else do that. Pass by on the other side. And then verse 32, likewise a Levite was in the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. Now, Levite is really one who is more in the service than what a priest is. I've been kind of amazed by the Catholic Church. Have you been reading the deals about the Pope that they have now? I mean, he's a Pope of the people. And he's one, and he doesn't want to live in the luxury and have all of that that's involved, that's usually associated with the Pope and the palace and the finery that he would be involved in. He wants to be out there in the people. He didn't want to ride around in the fancy cars and all that. He wants to walk among the people on that. He's really getting on to the priest about getting out of their office and getting into the people and really seeing what needs to be done. Now, I don't approve of all their doctrinal teachings, but I'll tell you one thing. That Pope's is on the track as far as any child of God is to be ministering and helping people. Amen? And now he's going to have some problems with that within that part of it. He was really accusing them of being like the priest and the Levite that passed by the Samaritan and wouldn't have anything to, I mean, not the Samaritan, but having this man that was about half dead. He wasn't going to have anything to do with it. We're guilty of the same thing. You don't need to blame them necessarily, but every denomination is the same way. We start out really helping one another, really and showing love, and the more God blesses us, and the more we have those of our leaders, we have a tendency to want to be up in a higher position. And we'll have others to do that, and I'm not going to do that part. I'm not going to serve in that particular capacity and helping that. Now, if somebody comes along that's in need that I think that might could benefit our church, I'll help them. Now, don't be frowning on that too much, because we're all guilty of that, working with it. We need to be reminded just who we really are and what our task is. Am I my brother's keeper? And is my brother, does that include everybody? Not just those of my race. And so now at this point, they were kind of wondering. I could see the lawyer's mind just going over in his mind, well, who is my neighbor now? You're wanting this, my Jewish, one of my kin now is hurt. And I can see that. And the priests and Levites are not helping. But then Jesus stepped out of the box in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan. Now, if he had said a certain African, a certain Ethiopian, but a Samaritan, that really struck a bad thing on him. Well, I see my phone is working. And that, so. And by the way, it's really difficult with that type of ring to answer it with a sour face. You can't. You answered with a kind of a little laughter in your heart, thinking about that baby, laughing on that. But then Jesus said, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now notice that. He said he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. A certain Samaritan. Now this struck a real nerve in the lawyer, as well as other Jews who were listening to Jesus. A Samaritan was one that you don't help. A Jew especially doesn't help a Samaritan. They cause their own problems. Let them solve their own problems. You ever heard that statement made in our government? Now, I have said that, man, if we would just quit giving foreign aid out to these other nations, we could take care of all our problems right here in America. We wouldn't have a health problem. All of our foreign aid money that we give out would take care of whatever health problems we have here. And I've been one to that point of saying, man, why are we doing all this foreign aid business? Giving to nations that really not going to, if we quit giving, they're going to turn their back on us. But why are we giving foreign aid to them to begin with? To begin in this, our foreign aid was to help another nation. Now we have tacked some political reasoning to it. And now we're saying, well, we're not really our brother's keeper. We're doing this so that we can have bases on their land. So we can benefit from it. It might be a selfish reason that we're giving, but still the basic principle is there. We started out with a nation needs help. There's not a nation on the face of this earth that didn't need help, one way or another in that. Whether we make it political or not is another question, but we need to help. With Syria, we're running into that problem right now. Hear horrible crime. Now, even though we know blowing people up with a bomb, killing people with that is bad too, and as horrible as gassing people. But to gas an area. Now, with a bomb, you might have some civilians involved in that, but not the whole community per se, and children and others. But we gas it, especially against those who cannot help themselves whatsoever. Am I my brother's keeper? Should we go or should we do something to try to correct that? Am I my brother's keeper? Here Jesus said, a neighbor is not necessarily your own race. To love your neighbor is not necessarily those of your own belief. Here you've got a Samaritan helping a Jew, total different in beliefs and everything that you can think of involved in that. So we need to take another good look at that question. Am I my brother's keeper? Not only did this Samaritan come where he was and saw him and had compassion on him, America as a Christian nation moved with compassion on the people of the world. The more we begin to move from that principle and want to do away or not recognize God in our nation and in our leaders, the more problems we brought on ourselves. You remember what we read a while ago, that if you do not help one another, what are you going to do? You're going to be consumed of one another. And what are we being? We're being consumed right now today because we changed our purpose involved of helping our neighbor or being my brother's keeper in this. Of course, you know the rest of this. Not only did he bound him up and took care of his wounds with oil and wine and put him on his own beast, he took him to the inn and took care of him and then provided care for him. In verse 35, on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And then Jesus brings it home. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Am I my brother's keeper? We've seen in the matter of Romans a while ago that we must take care of others to fulfill the law. Now notice again in Romans chapter 13 and verse 5. I mean verse 8. Romans 13 and verse 8. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Here the Bible tells us, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. To be a witness and a testimony to a loving Heavenly Father, we must be our brother's keeper. Now, we can do all that we've tried to do, and as a nation, we were recognized as a Christian nation among the world. Why? Because they liked the fact that we were Baptists or Methodists or Presbyterians or whatever else. No, they looked at we were taking care of our brothers. Not just Americans, but all nations that were in need. Our neighbor is anyone that is in need. Our brother, in this sense, is anyone that is in need. And to really bring home the witness of the love of God, we must sacrificially take care of the people of this world, regardless of the race, regardless of their social standing, regardless of their political background, regardless of their religion. A Samaritan helped a Jew, a foreigner, different completely. That's a neighbor. Who is my neighbor? It's anyone that's in need on this earth. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 5, Isaiah 58 and verse 5. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 5. Now, Brother Pat kind of got upset this morning that as he was preaching and all, and didn't feel like he's getting any amens. And I have a little different version of that down through the years. God sent me up to Iowa to pastor, and boy, you don't get any amens there. You don't even get a grunt out of them. The only way you know that everything is all right is if they don't get up and leave in the middle of the service. So if you're still sitting here, I take it you're in favor. If you get up and leave, then I know there's a difference in that part on it. But still yet, we need to show and encourage Pat in that area. Isaiah 58, look at verse 5. Here God is reminding us, what do we do to please him? How do we really worship him? And he talks about a fast. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds or the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? He said, if you're going to worship me, it's not so much in the offerings you bring, it's in how you love and you're taking care of your brother. Am I my brother's keeper? How do you love your neighbor? See? He said in verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. What is real worship? He said, helping those in need. Helping one another, not just those of your friends and likeness, but everyone. In verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Whether it be a church, whether it be a nation, when we are willing and we are ready to help those in need, regardless of their standing or their nationality or where they are in the world, when we're willing to do that, God said, I'll bless you. When America did this, and the days gone by, God blessed America beyond our imagination. But now that we have turned from that, what's happening to our nation? What's happening to our land? Have you ever seen such weather that we've had? From one extreme to the other, the destruction of our crops and all that we're involved with. Why? Because not only have we turned our back on God, but we quit helping others. Goes on to say in verse 9, then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer, when we will help others. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speak in vanity. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. We've got to take our eyes off of ourselves and being selfish, and realize what God wants us to do. And in his power, we are our brother's keeper in helping others. Now, how important is this? Well, it's a blessing of our land. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. We talk about the love of God. And my, what love it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Help us. Now, we want to demonstrate God's love. We want to proclaim God's love. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, hereby perceived we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's vital that we take care of our brother, our neighbor, anyone in need. When we do that, then we demonstrate and we proclaim the love of God in us. We might say we're Christians. We might say we're followers of God. But if we shut up our bowels of compassion and what God has blessed us with and refuse to help others, whether it be individually, whether it be as a church, or whether it be as a nation, we will not demonstrate the love of God. It's important that we do. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, you know the passage in Acts 20, 30, 35, where it said, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Have you ever proved that wrong? No, that's very true. More blessed to give than to receive. Well, look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible tells us here, and it put it on Paul's heart, and man, if there's ever a man that demonstrated the love of God, this is one of them. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. He said, we're debtors to the world. And are we ashamed of the love of God? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? When we help our neighbors, when we are our brother's keeper, regardless of their race, color, or whatever the situation is, we're demonstrating God's love. The strongest way to proclaim his love is to let his love flow through us and realize that we've been blessed by God beyond our imagination, and we are our brother's keeper. And so now, for the last scripture and thought for you, turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. God has revealed this passage to me in many different ways on this. In Ezekiel 22, verse 26 through 29, God talks about his priests, his leaders, religious leaders, rebelled against him. They were no longer making a difference between that which is right and that which is wrong. How that they wanted to serve and act within their organizations for their own greed, not in the matter of helping others. I noticed that they're trying to come out with a program, I guess they'll come out with it, on this, about the preachers of our land in America. Those who seem to be real popular of the wealth and all that they're involved in, and what they're getting at, are they fleecing the flock that they might have the wealth of it, or are they really serving in this? Those things we have to be aware of. And this is what he's talking about in the first part of this. And this is a great concern of God, not only in that light, but also in the matter of whether or not we as individuals or as a church or as a nation. Sometimes we think upon our nation the way we think upon Lottie Moon, Christmas offering, and the way we think upon Annie Armstrong offering. Man, we've been paying those things for years. You know, we've been giving to this for years. We need to do something else. You get all kinds of ideas. See, we've taken our eyes off the main issue. God has blessed us. And we need to help our neighbors in every respect that we possibly can. Now, in this chapter of Ezekiel 22, I want you to focus now on verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the strangers wrongfully. Did the Holy Spirit take your mind to our government in reading that? Of what we're doing to our own nation politically? Of the programs that we're saying can help you, but when they really examine it, it's doing more damage than it would ever help. This has been going on for years. It's getting stronger. Let me read that to you again. The people of the land have used oppression and have exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy, yea, have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. God looks upon that. we're not our brother's keeper any longer. We're not loving our neighbor as ourselves any longer. Then God said in verse 30, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What a sad, sad situation. Today, we need to recognize we are our brother's keeper. Our neighbor is not just the one down the street or of the same race. Our neighbor is the world. Well, we can't do this for all of the world. It's not you doing it. Do we really believe in the power of God and that God can still feed the multitudes with whatever we have? God can take a little and make much out of it? Do we still believe that God so loved the world, or that just God loves us, me and my four and no more? We need to come back to that place. Regardless of our political agenda or whatever else, we need to see the world as God sees it. People in need, and even though they would turn on you when you try to help them, God will take care of that. All of our wealth is not going to change a whole lot, but our love for them will make a difference. As we feed them, as we clothe them, as we protect them, as we help them, whether it be our neighbors here in Ada or whether it be that around the world in that. God has sought for a man to stand in the gap. Could I add to that? God has sought for a church to stand in the gap. God has sought for a nation to stand in the gap. America has stood in that gap. Will America stand in it again? Our churches have stood in that gap. Will we stand again? Not to take anything away from what has been said, but don't misunderstand me. We have a lot of people, and we still have the ground roots of our nation that love their neighbors. I'm so thankful for, we see this brought out in the tornadoes, in the floods, in the hurricanes, in the fires. People rush in. Not just American people. Do you realize that in many of these tragedies in our nation, we get people from other nations coming in? Why? Because they know they're their brother's keeper. And the same thing is true in other lands. When they have their tragedies there, we have Americans there. It's true with our missionaries. But we're failing. We need to do more. We need to keep in mind we are our brother's keeper. And we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. So may we once again encourage and act it out and let the love of God flow through us as we love our neighbors as ourselves. Have you been interceding in prayer for them? Have you been helping whatever way God opens the door for you? I'm so thankful for those who have volunteered for disaster relief, for our missionaries, for our preachers, for our church people, our mission groups that go out. But we need more. And we need to let the world know that God